Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our random dick. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I would have said something else. I would have said the glowing magical meteorite. That's what I would have said.
Was there a dick in there?
Was there a random dick in there?
That's Ari.
I'm Ari.
I'm Scott. And this is
Time Pop. No, I said first.
Time Pop.
No, I'm the winner.
I know we're echoing in different universes at different vibrations and frequencies.
10 points for me.
Frequencies.
Time Pop.
Let's get back to the dick.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of boobs.
This movie was so
high school. That's how I described it. It was so high school. It was as if a high school boy made it.
I would say even worse, a sophomore college student that wishes he was still in high school.
Wow.
To me, this was like what like a high school freshman thinks that college parties are like.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird that this is like, yeah, because it is kind of a high school party because it's happening at someone's parents' house.
Yeah.
And this house is fucking, I mean.
They're supposed to be in college, right?
Yeah, I think they're all like in between their freshman and sophomore year, give or take.
Of college, yeah.
Because I think the main two characters dated in high school, and then this is the year after that they're having trouble staying connected.
The director is Greek, and he's 52 years old. These are what the kids do in high school. That is the drugs and the boobs and music.
They pour the vodka directly into their eye sockets.
Kids are crazy. They do crazy things.
The fact that they didn't actually show a butt chugging scene in this movie is shocking.
Where was the random penis?
At the beginning, when they're walking to the party and she's talking to, they're talking to, his friend is talking. Let me see. Let me get all the names right. Hey, you know what? Let me introduce everybody to the names and then I'll tell you why they're talking about.
Wait, what movie did we watch?
We watched Plus One, aka Plus Sign Number One. There are lots of these movies out there, so look for the one that was released in 2013, not rated. 1 hour and 36 minutes, directed by Denis Iliadis.
Iliadis.
Starring Reese Wakefield, who you may know from the first Purge film.
Oh.
Yes. No one else. Everyone else, they kind of get around. Logan Miller, Ashley Hinshaw, Natalie. Like four of these people went on to True Blood, so the talent scout went on to work for True Blood.
It's because they showed their boobs.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, if you're willing to show boobs. So David and Teddy are walking to the party, and Teddy's talking. David just pissed off his girlfriend. Sorry, I'm already jumping around way too much. we'll go back to the beginning in a minute, but first I got to get to the random dick. David pissed off his girlfriend Jill. And so while Teddy and David are walking to the party, Teddy's talking to David about all the random dick that Jill's going to be getting at the party.
Oh.
I strongly disagree with you. I do not think that should be the constant. I think the constant should be the magical meteorite.
I think the boobs might be the constant.
Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
How do we feel about this film?
I think it's really unique. I love it because of its uniqueness.
Of course you do. Of course you like this movie. Of course you do, Desmond.
Let the man finish.
I did like, because I watched this when it first came out. I remember me and a coworker were we were talking about time travel movies at the time, and this one was just coming out, so we were all over it. And yeah, but this time watching it, I don't remember it being just so, again, unnecessarily misogynist. Like,
yeah,
It's almost to the point where you think there's going to be some payoff where, I don't know, so some girls are going to murder a bunch of guys for being douchebags, but it really does just feel like this is an excuse for a director to hang out with naked 20-somethings.
Yeah, I read somewhere that they said maybe that it was like, it's so much misogyny that maybe it's supposed to be satire, but if that's the case, it doesn't come across. It's not over the, it's not a payoff enough of good satire.
Yeah, and if it was satire, you'd think that they'd have a couple more half-naked guy. I mean, it's not rated. Let's get some frontal, let's get some wiener, let's get some random dicks in this movie. And I mean penises, not assholes.
It's a lot of boobs. There's a lot of, yeah. I haven't seen as many boobs since the 80s.
Yeah.
In a film. This film took some plot jumps that didn't seem to make sense. Like, I don't know.
Even for a time travel movie?
We'll get into it later, but like, why they felt threatened at the end, where that came from, I don't. Just because myself is there, I don't feel like that self is going to try to kill me or take me out. I don't know whether. What are these guys going to do when they catch up? They just started assuming some things that they had no reason.
Whoa. We are jumping way ahead of you. Whoa.
Hey, geez. Quit busting my balls.
All right. Let's go in order here.
It was a weird. We laughed at parts that were not supposed to be funny.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. A unique idea, right?
Yes. For time travel enthusiast, it's nice when you see something new.
Yes, it wasn't executed very well, but it was something new and original. So gold star for that.
Yes.
Right. It's time travel meets Revenge of the Nerds meets Animal House.
All right, Ari, do you want to start at the top or?
All right. So we've got some young college folks.
Hot college folks.
Two of them are our main couple are a couple. And yeah,
he visits her.
He visits her at her jousting tournament.
Yeah, she's at college, I assume.
I don't know. And he ends up accidentally kissing another girl that looks like his girlfriend.
Well, she's fencing. She gets beaten by a girl. They both take off their helmets at the same time. They make the same noise. They look the same. Thinks the one at the water fountain is her. Gets freaked out when it's not her. And then the girl randomly kisses him and he doesn't stop her.
Yeah. And then the girlfriend sees and they break up.
It's a really weird beginning. He's pretty in love with her. Why he wouldn't have stopped it. Or that this girl that doesn't know him just kisses him. It started off on a weird pace.
Yeah, it was definitely like, we need some friction between these two now. And they just, made that leap pretty quickly.
Yeah, it was a weird. All right, good.
So then now there's a party. Someone's having a party. And our main guy and his friend are getting ready for the party. And a meteorite crashes down to Earth. And it's all white and glowy and it crashes down. Nobody notices it or reports on it or anything. It crashes down, makes a hole in the ground. And then a bright whitish blue light like slowly emerges from the hole in the ground and climbs up a telephone wire, a telephone pole to the wire and then creeps slowly, mind you, along the wire till he gets to the house. And then I guess we're just supposed to assume that it kept creeping along to all the rest of the houses.
Yeah, that was my question. Is it only this house or is it like the town, the city, the world?
I think it had a special effect on this house because of all the lights that it had. Because if that power was going through all the electrical lines and this kid spent his whole day at Home Depot wiring his house to the hilt with lights.
Right. That makes sense. Okay.
So the house that the party was happening in had a lot of like Christmas tree lights. And so I guess it was drawn to that, we'll say. And this magical meteorite power light starts to slowly make its way towards the house. So the first half of the movie is the party. And it's a very immature, misogynistic.
And like,
I guess, college party.
And like most time travel movies, like our main characters are moving through the party very slowly so we the viewer can be like, okay, she's here, he's there, he's over here, okay, I see where all my chess pieces are, now let's fuck it up. But yeah, and there's as Ari says, it's just there's unnecessary.
Someone's trying to create the ultimate party here, and they're just one person is actually trying to take a shot of vodka into his eyeball. Someone else is doing a keg stand.
One woman is just posing nude for two dudes' Instagram.
It's kind of ridiculous. Like, at one point, they lit a tennis ball on fire, and they're playing kind of like badminton back and forth with the flaming tennis
this
ball.
This is how the teens party, the crazy teenagers.
And then the ball falls and catches the curtains on fire. And the guy whose house it is like, don't worry, we've got it under control. And then the sprinklers come on. Nobody has.
And then they're all, whoa, and then it's wet party.
They're dancing in the rain. But like the DJ like knew it was going to happen. So he like opened an umbrella over his equipment. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy's like this multi-million dollar home is destroyed. And.
This is American party. This is America.
This is what the American kids, they don't respect anybody's house, not even their own.
Yeah, so it's kind of ridiculous. And then our main guy is essentially trying to go throughout the party and find his ex to talk to her. And he finally finds her and they have like a very poorly written, immature fight. Where he's like trying to apologize.
Wait, you mean the poor man's bastard child of Zach Morris and Keanu Reeves? That one? All right, please continue.
Doesn't like
that. Oh, we got him. We got him. It's true.
Oh, God.
It's true.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he was creepy. I did not like when he smiled.
He's got that. Well, that's why he's perfect for Purge. Like, he's like the main purger.
Oh, yeah.
In the first Purge, because he's got that fucking evil grin that just stares at you through the mask.
So
he's made for horror films.
So
tell more of the story of my film.
So the other main guy, like I guess it's his best friend. He bags like the hottest girl at the party and they go upstairs to bone.
It doesn't make it. He goes up to her. He's talking to her like super nervous. She's like, you know, this like woman that looks like she's 20 years older, like, you know, smoking well, taken care of, you know, and he's like this nerdy dude doesn't say anything. And she's like, meet me upstairs. I'm going to show you a surprise. And I thought she was going to expose herself as an alien or kill him or something. But she's totally there. It just seems so weird and out of place. It wasn't a natural, organic conversation. And then he gets up there and she is naked waiting for him. And it's like,
yeah,
where's the catch of what this is?
Well, because she kind of like they.
There's no connection. There's no.
Very loosely, like they. It seems like they went to high school together. So they kind of know each other. And she's slightly intrigued. But
she says she doesn't know anyone at the party, though.
Oh, did she say that?
Oh.
Yeah. So she doesn't really.
But, yeah, but they do know who she is. It's confusing. When I was his age, I want women like that. So I put in script. I talk rest of this podcast in this voice.
So they go upstairs and they start boning, right? This super nerdy guy and this super hot girl. And just as they're finishing their like freaky geeky.
Just to get the other side of the misogyny just for a minute. This woman manhandles this dude.
Yeah, she's like beating him up as they're having sex.
Yeah, she's slapping him around and taking control. So just want the listeners to know that the lady's got one in.
So just as they're finishing, as they're both climaxing, the lights go out and it shows like the magical light kind of taking over the house. And the lights go out and we see this kind of weird double effect, like you're seeing double.
Oh, yeah.
So while they're doing this too, everybody downstairs is going outside to the pool area to do shots and get ready for the next phase.
Right. They're moving to like another location of this property. It's a very big property, this house.
Yeah. This is an estate.
So the travel at this point has happened, right? So now, what does?
Yes. Yeah. I just wondering if now that everyone's outside, everyone's either outside or upstairs now. Our main characters are upstairs.
And everyone else in the party has gone out to like the pool.
So just because we're going to mention them again. So David and Jill are the main couple that are fighting. Teddy and Melanie are the ones in the bedroom boning. Angid is the one throwing the party. Kyle is the drug
dealer
outside. And then Brenda,
the redhead.
Yeah,
that's Scott's favorite character in this whole movie.
I fucking love Brenda. We're gonna have to talk about Brenda.
Oh god. Okay, so
all of these characters, so the characters I just mentioned are upstairs Everyone else is outside by the pool. House goes dark.
So the travel has happened. So I guess what it is the magical meteorite light kind of overtakes the house and resets it, but like makes it go back in time a little bit. So all the living things go back in time and they just kind of appear again
for
however much time in the past.
So we can track it. Most things I've read to say this, and so we can track it. We're going to say 1 hour.
Okay, we'll say 1 hour. Yeah. It goes back 1 hour. So the first...
So Melanie goes into the shower.
Yeah, right. And yeah. Then he sees her in the shower, and then the hour goes back, and he just sees her popping up in bed. She's like, wait, how did you get here so quick?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's waiting in bed while they just had sex. She's taking a shower, and then... she pops up a second version of her. So I'm calling them version A and B. That's how I kind of organized it.
AA will be number one. Let's say one and two.
Group one and group two?
Yeah.
Okay. So then the hot blonde from group two just appears out of nowhere. And it was like, what's going on? It's confusing. And then
she jumps on him to start having sex again.
And then Melanie from group one comes out of the shower and sees them and sees the other her. And it's like, what the hell? And so now our main characters are the only ones who are aware that there's double of everyone. Because the party downstairs now is all happening all over again. All the craziness, the fiery tennis ball, the vodka in the eye, the keg stands. So, but they're the only ones who know this because everyone else from group one is out by the pool continuing the party. And so they have to figure out what the heck is going on.
So a lot of it is they're just watching the party from upstairs and realizing that everybody's doing what they saw them do an hour ago, including themselves. They see themselves.
Yeah, they're doing the same thing over.
And
there's a lot of standing around and not doing anything. There's a lot of like going in rooms, staring blankly at walls, waiting. There's just shots throughout this whole film. Sorry. Keep going.
Yeah. No worries. So I think we'll get back to something else in a minute, but just to stay in one area for a second.
So the main guy and girl, right? Jill and whatever his name is, David.
So David won.
And Jill won.
Now, well, they already had their conversation.
And it went badly.
It went badly.
And it went very poorly.
Yes. He tried to apologize. Didn't work out. She's over it.
So Jill One is out at the pool hanging out with Steve or David, somebody.
The new guy.
And now David One is talking to Jill Two, trying to have the conversation better. So he uses everything that Jill One told him. He now basically uses that against her to say everything right.
Yeah, I'm like kind of fixes it with the second Jill Two.
Yes. And then I'm trying to remember. So at one point, so the Teddy and Melanie One and Melanie Two thing goes on for a while and they're kind of arguing and fighting. And then the lights go dark again. And then everything jumps forward.
So hang on.
We should know before that about the bland girl and that some random guy, a bland girl, because she just kind of stares blankly.
The redhead.
Yeah, what her character is. But some guy tries to kind of hit on her.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't fall for it. And then he goes, my girlfriend made me do it as a practical joke and walks away. This girl just walks around blank faced the whole time. We don't know what the deal is.
She's super cute. But she's like Hollywood ugly. So we all have to believe that this cute girl is just gross.
She's walked around blank face. We just don't know what's supposed to be going on.
Well, she's walking around blank face because everyone thinks she's a huge fucking dork and won't talk to her or hang out with her.
So more importantly is the bird room. So the room with the bird and the black lights.
Yes.
It's this kid's parents' house. There's a random room that has birds and black lights. It's pitch dark.
Which is his parents' room, too, isn't it? Isn't that because the owner, no, because he gives him a set of keys. Says, go up to my parents' room and chill out.
That's the room with the parrots?
Oh, no, that's the room where Jill and him talk.
So
yeah, the parents' room is just another room.
So now there's two birds, right? Because everything is doubled and now there's two birds. So, but before David, our main guy, talks to Jill number two, he finds himself version two, and ties him up in the bird room, in the blacklight bird room. Okay.
Yes.
So.
After smashing a bottle over his head.
Yeah, so I didn't assume that he was dead.
I didn't either.
But by how it wrapped up in the end, he was dead. Like, otherwise it would have been a huge hole. So it made it look like he just knocked him out and tied him up, but it turns out that he killed him in that moment and tied him up. Because otherwise there would have been a major hole with the rest of the story.
Yeah, that's right.
So then he goes to talk to Jill 2, and he does a better job this time. And Jill 2 is kind of like into him again. But then things are happening and like there's a blackout and all of a sudden Group 2 disappears from where they are and reappear a little bit like later in the hour. Like they're catching up to Group 1, right?
Yeah.
What about the drug dealer thing?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The drug dealer sees the second version of himself and he kills one of the versions. And he's just laying there.
We don't know which is which, but one Kyle kills the other Kyle.
He's just laying there dead in the grass. But so these blackouts are significant, right? So the lights go out again and Group 2 kind of phases out and phases back in and the time has shifted for them. They're like catching up. So the best way that they show that is when the hot blonde and the nerdy guy are talking in the room after they've all discovered each other. Group 2 of that couple disappear and then reappear again on the floor where the original them had finished having sex.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And now it's different. Right.
So time is like trying to catch it up, but it had been different right before. And then after that, it was different again. So this keeps happening to Group 2. And Group 1 kind of realizes this. They move.
Not quite yet. Because now Group 1 has just naturally moved from the pool area to another even further removed area to a stage area. They made the movie so that Group 1 keeps moving far enough away that Group 2 can't really see them. So from inside to outside and then outside to farther outside. So now on this first phasing forward, does that phase them from the Group 2 from inside to outside?
I thought they went outside, didn't they? Yeah, because he had a surprise. He's like, everybody outside.
Okay.
Well, I forgot what the surprise was.
It was just shots. And then
and glow sticks.
And glow sticks to get ready for the strippers.
So.
Because, of course.
I love America.
High school parties and there's strippers.
So there's a major hole right now with the guy passed out on the couch. So he was passed out in the same spot the whole time. So if there is all of a sudden a second one of him, he would have been sitting literally right on top of him on the couch. But no, he's sitting next to him, just kind of mirroring him.
Interesting. Yeah, he just appeared on his lap.
Well, because that's a hole that they even fix for Brenda. When Brenda's sitting in the chair, there's a blackout. Brenda sits in a chair for 5 minutes and then switches chairs so that when 2 shows up, she'll be in the first chair.
So they really mess up with the guy passed out on the couch. So that's a major hole right there. But yeah, so group 1 keeps moving away and our main characters know what's going on and they're trying to navigate this. And one of the main characters tries to warn Group 1 that something's coming.
Yeah, this was the jump in the plot that I have a hard time with. They're hiding from themselves and like something's coming. Like, where is that assumed? Like, a natural inclination, I would be like, if I was the girl, I would go down and warn myself and be like, hey, I would help myself out. Like, this guy's about to play a joke on you. Let's get him. Like, why are they? Oh my God, we got to hide and they're going to take us over. And a lot of assumptions that we've never seen in any other film.
Yeah, I think for some reason, they feel like when 2 catches up to them,
it's a threat.
It will remove Group 1's.
But that came from nowhere. There's nothing to suggest it in this film. Like when he goes and warns you on the stage, nothing is to suggest any threat. They're going to take us over. They're going to do this to us.
No. There is a perceived threat because they saw the dead drug dealer guy on the front lawn.
Oh.
And one of them said, I saw one version kill the other. So that kind of planted the seed and everybody started talking about that. And that was the rumor.
They should have given all of the 2's goatees and
mustaches, yeah.
And angry eyes. They're the bad ones. Urgh.
And there's so much hiding and it just gets tense. And I'm just like, I don't see any reason why they should be tense right now.
Well, I think is what it is I think it's just a like, because even in like Infinite Man, Like, he's so, he keeps looking at the other hims
as a threat,
as a totally different dude who's creeping in on his wife. And I think that these guys are just like, they're it's just all about self-preservation. And even if that other person is a version of me, it's still not me, me, and I'm going to fight for me, me.
It's the director's version. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously what he wants to get across. I don't know. If I saw the other me, I would want to have a conversation or warn or have camaraderie.
And that's where you have Brenda in there. She's
very lonely.
She's
very lonely.
Your doppelganger in the movie.
She's got the personality of a piece of wood.
So
the blackouts kind of keep happening, and Group A at this point is starting to freak out because a couple of them have seen their other versions and they're all kind of confused. And
by Group A, we mean the five main characters in Group A.
The whole Group One party at this point is now in the pool house.
So they get everyone in the pool house. Everyone's really confused. And then they start looking out the window. And then that's when Group Two shows up at the stripper party. And so now Group One is totally staring at Group Two.
They say there's something coming.
Yeah, he says,
them.
He said, no, something weird's happening. Everybody
get in, hurry, hurry, hurry.
So, well, the only reason I was wondering, I was trying to get that straight, is because Group Two gives the crowd a different speech. And that's when it becomes very obvious that this isn't a perfect loop.
No, it's not a perfect loop. Yeah, he says, he gets on stage and he says, like, you know, something's off. Has everyone else been feeling really weird and really off for this party? You know, this isn't right. And he kind of starts talking like he already knows everything. Well, because he knows that there is another version because he saw.
And, yeah, but he's like, they're trying to get us. We got to get them. And who knows what they're going to do to us and all these assumptions. And then the time's going to catch up and they're going to do something to it. Like, it just takes this like Lord of the Flies kind of flip really quickly.
You've got Group One in the pool house. You've got Group Two by the stage, not too far away. And some people in the pool house, Group One, start to get super paranoid and saying, like, if they catch up to us, if there's another blackout and they catch up to us, they're going to take over. We need to kill them. So about like four or five of them go out and kill their other version of themselves.
Yeah. All of a sudden, they're turning into killers so quick. It just,
and while this so is strange. Happening, our main guy, what's his name?
David,
our main guy, goes, he realizes what's going to happen. Like, he's like, oh no, if we all catch up, Jill is not the Jill that I messed up with is not going to want me. So he goes and finds Jill number one. So David number one goes and finds Jill number one and he stabs her.
That's right.
And then at that same time that that's happening, Group Two and Group One start fighting with each other. Oh no, sorry. Then there's a blackout, right? So time is catching up closer and closer. There's a blackout. When the lights come back on and they reappear, you're right next to your other version.
In a tight space.
Did you think they were fused at first?
I did. Yeah, I thought they were fused.
I totally thought they were fused.
Siamese twin battle.
But then they start fighting themselves. Everybody's fighting themselves.
Gouging eyeballs out and scratching.
And we don't know how many ones survive and how many twos survive.
Right.
Right. So then there's another blackout. It's like the final catch-up. And then...
Oh, there is catch-up all over this pool.
Yeah,
house.
the final time jump. And no. There is only one version of everybody.
Wait, before we get there, our friend Brenda the Wallflower... Ignoring all, she just sees her. She's holding hands with herself.
She's in the house.
Let's talk. And they're just staring at each other's eyes, and then makes out with herself. I've never had this feeling before.
She kisses
makes out
herself.
With herself.
Yeah. And then the final phase time jump, and there's only one version of everybody, and you don't know who is who. But essentially, one of everybody got killed. Right. So the Jill that got stabbed did not survive because it's Jill 2 that survived and it's David 1 that survived. So they end up happily ever after together, right? Which means he killed his other version in the beginning when it looked like he just knocked him out. He actually killed him.
So the movie's saying murder is right.
Well, do they kill them or would one of them just naturally have phased out? Anyway,
but it's not consistent who gets phased. It's not always the one.
it's not like group two phased out because Jill two was the one that survived. So it's a mystery as to who survived and who didn't survive. And then everyone just goes home from the party and then the movie ends.
And the fact that they have killed trauma just to all of a sudden turn into a murderer, let alone murdering yourself. But like, nah, what a party that was. Boy, I got to work at the pizza joint tomorrow.
We'll be fine.
I saw so many boobs tonight. Yeah, there's that one scene where the girl's walking to the party, but she sees another version of herself drunk showing off her boobs. She's like, that's me showing my own boobs. What's going on?
This house is definitely a crime scene.
The strippers showing their boobs and two more of themselves up while they're,
Oh yeah, because there's still blood everywhere. Everyone's still covered in blood.
Fucking blood everywhere.
What? And there are people crying at the end, but then it's also like the guy's in love. And then he asks the blonde girl, what's his name? The little pipsqueak guy.
Teddy asks Melanie.
The blonde girl like to hang out again, and she just kind of stares at him and walks away.
She's like, are you fucking insane?
What the fuck? What is this film? What is the film I make for you? What do I make? Why?
I make John Hughes party film and you ruin it with Stabby Stab.
John Hughes, Nightmare on Elm Street, Lord of the Flies. The best. So you probably read, the Wikipedia and stuff on this?
No.
It said like this came about when the director had asked three questions and then wrote a script to like the producer or whatever. And the three questions that he asked himself were, what would happen if you could meet yourself? What would happen if you were in the same space as yourself and both versions of you were going after the same thing? What if this space was a wild party where all of the emotions are raw and there's no time to be intellectual and process things?
Oh.
And from that, wrote the like paragraph to set this off.
Okay.
So that's where, like, obviously they're getting a thing across, but.
Yeah. Well, I like that it's like, I mean, that's a good idea just to get everybody fucked up so no one is, you know, thinking properly and they're just, you know, again, me getting very me-centric.
But they never resolve, like why this happened, what's up with the meteorite. They never conclude, like, how this happened, where the meteorite was from.
Yeah. Well, then that's a problem with a lot of magical time travel movies. You know, this is kind of a Groundhog Day type thing where it just happens. But do you want to know why this is the best time travel movie ever?
Oh, God.
Boobs.
It's not a loop.
No, it is not a loop.
No, it's not a loop.
It is not.
Oh, yeah. They wrap up their little paradox very nicely at the end because everyone dies.
Yep.
So it's all wrapped up nicely in a bow.
Well, even more than that, they vanish. And yeah, it just shows that, you know.
And then there's two meteors at the end. Yeah.
They could have just partied with themselves and had a big orgy and one of them would have but then that probably would have, because see, that would have been a little bit more interesting if group two was the ones trying to do the killing because they wanted to be alpha instead of group one panicking, because group one was reacting already like group two was trying to take them over, but there was no reason for it.
I think the point would have gotten across if there was someone, you know, one of those films where there was the scientist scene, here's what is happening, these meters have caused this, but only one set of you will survive. And like, when, if that like was given to them of like, wow, it's survival of the fittest, that would make more sense. But it's like this teenage party and he just assumed it very, I don't know. It didn't, nothing was like earned. The relationship wasn't earned. The characters were very two-dimensional, right? What do we know about the guy is just that he wanted to win the girl back. We knew the other girl just didn't fit in. We knew the other guy was horny. This is the extent of their characters.
Yeah. If Melanie had been a twin, that would have been really cool because A, it would have made the beginning kiss make some sense.
Yeah.
And we could have had four Melanies at the party, which would have really fucked shit up.
I thought for sure that guy was going to have like a threesome with two of the same woman. Or a foursome with two of each. I thought they were going there.
Hey, you said you had a surprise for me. Let's just go with it.
Surprise! Threesome with two of me.
I have four boob now.
Jeff.
How many fucking candles are in that room? Jesus.
She had a lot of time.
Christ.
Thank God their house is obsessed with candles. There might have been 150 candles if you include like the shower.
In the shower.
Very romantic for someone that just met this guy.
It made it very convenient for when the power went out.
It was also very romantic.
Yes, it did. This movie was very convenient.
I'd like to read a review, if I may.
Oh, yes, please.
Jeff Berkshire Variety called it a trippy oddity with a tantalizing visual puzzle that demands full attention, even as the flavorless characters and largely so-so performances risk audience indifference. Berkshire states that the film's overriding misogyny may be intentional satire.
Oh, so maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe. Is that Rotten Tomatoes?
No, it's from the Wikipedia.
The Wikipedia.
The ratings aren't that bad for this, surprisingly.
Yeah, because high school kids like it.
I like the boobs.
Those people that the internet lovers love it. You like the boobs.
Plus, so as far as time travel goes with this movie, it's okay, right? The mechanism of time travel is not super ingenious. It's a magical mechanism for time travel.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting concept, right? You're in this isolated location and everyone is kind of duplicated an hour later. Because if you actually think about it as time travel, if you truly thought about it as time travel, then it's group one that is going back
an hour
to do it again.
Right.
So technically what we were naming group two is technically group one that went back an hour to do it again.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that changes everything if you think about it like that. So is this actually time travel or is this just a magical device that duplicated people and made them do time over again?
It's just a Xerox machine.
They went back, right? They went back 1 hour.
The group one, what we've been calling group one,
went back an hour.
Did not go back an hour.
Oh, group two.
They just appeared. They just appeared out of nowhere, right? Because the people who had the memory of it,
you're
right?
Saying group two are the travelers that went.
So because if group one had traveled back in time, they would still have the memory.
Right.
Right. They would have the memory, but everybody did it. That wouldn't make any sense, right? They wouldn't be doing all the same thing again. It's just they got duplicated and are doing everything the same way. But the reason why our main characters did something different is because they encountered themselves right away. So it's kind of just a duplicate story. Is
I guess
it?
They never show a clock, do they?
No.
No, there is no clock in this movie ever.
I mean, in the blacklight room there is, but it's not noted.
So we don't really know.
So is this time travel or is this just a magical thing that made them reappear again?
I mean, things still moved ahead from in the second group to the same timeline that they live in that hour, but it jumped.
But you're right, Ari, for it to be this is almost an alternate universe 1 hour behind.
Yeah.
Or not even really or like a convergence of universes.
It's like a mirror universe.
Plus, yeah, that both times existed. Like when she was in the shower and in the bed, you're looking at both times at the same time.
Right. I'm not wrong with this, right? Because
if
group one had actually time traveled backwards, they would still have the memory.
Yeah.
And they would be an hour earlier.
But they did have the memory when group one. Well,
when group two just appeared out of nowhere.
Yeah.
They're going about their.
If you travel back in time an hour, Scott, you're going to remember everything up to the point where you traveled back in time.
Right.
Where these people did not. They just.
So here's my question to you and the universe and all of our listeners. Is this actually time travel?
No.
Whoa! Wait.
Let's go with the two humping in the room.
Yes. Talk more about the humping.
He's experienced this past hour. She's in the shower. Then the her of an hour ago is popping up in bed. He still remember theoretically, if he went back an hour, he's remembering that they just humped, but she does not.
Right.
But we don't know if she just popped up in his future or if he is in her past.
Well, remember, his number two is still coming up.
Right.
Excited to get busy for the first time.
And if two timelines converge, but is she, did him and showering lady move an hour back? And is there any proof that they didn't?
Oh.
They remember that hour, but they are there back where she went in there an hour ago.
No, they didn't go back an hour because they never phased. They never moved at all. It was group.
Right. The timelines are converging.
It was always group two, what we call group two, right, that did the phasing. They kind of appeared out of nowhere the first time. And then when they were doing the blackout time jumps, as I'm calling them, they showed them phasing out and then reappearing over in the corner after they had just had sex.
15 minutes right, later.
Yeah, however much. But right. The fact that the writers and the director specifically chose to not show a single clock at any point is really what's confusing here. Because if they had shown the clock at being like 11 p.m., and then when the first blackout happened and now it's 10 p.m., you know, an hour after.
There was a clock in the film. It was like symbolism. Remember the clock in like the bird room? There was like at the beginning, they showed a clock. You're like, there was so many things in the beginning I noted because I was like, oh, this would be one of those smart films where they're going to reference all these parts and it's going to come together. And it wasn't. That didn't even happen. I was like paying attention for the smart films that show like, oh, everything in their place was really important. And it was not.
Yeah, it was just boobs.
Well, and the really, like I said, even more than a clock, I think showing watches would have, because what?
They didn't show any kind of specific time thing.
No, they didn't.
So that really makes me wonder, like, you know, what is the time when the first blackout happened? Are they going back in time and experiencing this again? Or is it just a duplicate version that appears and is doing this hour again? And why this hour?
Because so...
So the second group is jumping through time. Is the second group not moving through time? Are they not the time travelers?
So when the blackouts happen, right, the little phases, they are speeding up through time. Right?
So there is time traveling.
They're jumping ahead to catch, to quote unquote, catch up to group one.
Yes.
So does that mean that group one went back in time?
No.
No, right?
No, because they would have, because it was group two that phased out and phased back in 15 minutes later. It wasn't group one that phased out and phased back in 15 minutes earlier.
Right. So group two is phasing out and phasing in to catch up to group one. So time happened. So
group one is the constant.
Group one is the constant. Time happened. They did all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, group one stayed where they are. Group two appeared and did what they just did for that hour.
Is there anything outside of the people that show the evidence? Like, was there something spilled or something burned or something broken that wasn't there anymore when they went back? I mean, that would be some of the proof.
Oh, yeah.
Was there anything broken, anything different in the physical environment? The broken glass doesn't count.
The bird?
No, I'm just...
Oh, no. That's why...
The burnt curtain.
That's why Teddy...
Cut his hand
the second time.
Right.
So there was already broken glass down there. And then a second glass broke. And then he cut his hand.
And then he cut his hand.
Yeah. So there was two glasses that broke.
But you're right with the burnt curtain. But they were, again, and that's where they're partying so hard they don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, there's nothing that's evidence.
No, because the sprinklers wouldn't have come on twice.
And everything would have already been wet.
Yeah.
If they went back before it, then it wouldn't have been wet.
So the whole environment reset.
Yeah.
Except for group one.
And they kept moving to a different area that hadn't been
shown.
Fucked with yet.
Yeah.
So there was never any. And then group two. So what I'm trying to remember, so the meteor hit, because it was something weird too in David's house when they were leaving.
Yeah, in the mirror.
His dad was being kind of weird in front of the TV, so I feel like they were trying to show us something there. But with the phases, yeah, I think it must have had something to do with all of the lights, the how electrified that house was, why it was being affected so much. But I think something happens, like right around the time they get there, there's a big pulse. There's not a blackout, but I think there is kind of a pulse, and that's where we get reset to.
But it doesn't just affect the house, right? It affects the pool, the stage in the backyard, the pool house in the backyard. Like, it affected...
I don't think so.
Like, you can't just say it affected all the people within the house the first time, because it also affected the environment.
Right, does the blood spread?
Maybe that's why they started to catch up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they left that electromagnetic field of the main house and started to catch up to themselves once they left the main
It wasn't as thoroughly thought out as the time crimes.
It's weird because the sprinklers, for example, they had not gone off the second time, but yet the glass had broken upstairs in the bedroom and stayed broken.
Yeah.
Right. So the second wave of party people aren't coming into an already wet house, yet the glass stayed broken.
Yeah.
So there's some holes for sure.
Yeah, there's some things were well thought out, like with the Brenda changing seats, and then there's other things that aren't, with the drug guy passed out on the couch.
Yeah.
Would you recommend this movie?
No.
No.
No!
Recommend my film. It's a fun teenager's party. So many boobies.
Oh. This is... We're 60 movies into this experiment, and this is unique enough that I've got to recommend it.
So as far as a time travel movie goes, I would not recommend it. And then obviously as a regular movie, I also would not recommend it. There's so many other time travel movies to see before this one.
We've seen 59 other time travel movies before this one.
Yeah.
I say do it, people. Plus one.
I say don't do it.
Don't see my film. There are better films that make more sense than my film.
Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm confused right now.
And I'm Scott Lifton.
One way to end a show, right?
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Don't put that on the show.
Yeah, I'm just going to edit that out. Do you want to discuss the next movie in the recording, or do you want to do it now beforehand?
After, at the end of the recording.
Okay.
What are we going to do next?
Well, there's all kinds of options.
Thanks to, we got a shout out again. I think we've done this before. This is Barry. Thank you so much for your very robust list of movies.
Robust, comprehensive.
It's awesome.
There's Time Trap, the one in the cave.
Source Code.
Hasn't happened. Yeah.
We have not done Source Code.
There's Triangle. It's number 8 on the list. And then there's the number 1. 41 looks interesting. That's has the time travel device in his floor.
Ooh, yeah.
And then he seems to run into himself and stuff like that, but like in a lighthearted sort of way. So yeah, so 41 seems interesting. That first one that they said is number 1, that's probably worth something. I can't read what it's about because it says don't read anything about it.
Yes!
But it's number 1 on the list, and the list is pretty solid.
Can we find it?
Yeah, well, let me see what it's called again. It's called something hoo-ha?
Yeah.
Jimmy Hoo-ha's? Jimmy Hoo-ha and the Flang Bangers. Oh, they put Butterfly Effect pretty high up there. That's nice. I appreciate that. That is called Kimi no Wawa.
Kimi no Wawa.
Let's see. Kimi no Wawa.
Kimi no Nawa.
All right. Kimi.
No.
No.
Na. N-A.
No Wawa. No, 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 Nawa. You can rent it on Amazon Prime, otherwise known as Your Name.
Let's do it. Let's go to the top of the list.
All right. Kimi no Wawa.
No Nawa.
No Nawa. Kimi no Nawa. Our next movie is number 1 on the comprehensive This Is Barry list.
Wow.
Going straight to the top.
So for all the people out there, don't look up anything about it. Don't look at it. Don't see a preview. Just rent it, watch it, and then listen to our podcast.
Awesome. I can do it. Oh, it's in IMDb as Your Name. I searched Kimi no Nawa, but it popped up as Your Name. TVPG 2016, 1 hour and 46 minutes. Two strangers find themselves linked in a bizarre way. When a connection forms, will distance be the only thing to keep them apart? No, it's time. Time keeps them apart. Aren't you listening, people?
And gravity.
And love brings them together.
Oh.
Hey, you know what?
What?
You guys are both my plus ones.
Well, you didn't ask us if we could. I guess there wasn't a choice in this one.
Plus two.
If we could meet ourselves, would we?
Oh, yeah. It was so, yeah, so obviously impossible. Oh, how about this? Would you immediately stab yourself in the fucking throat if you saw another version of yourself an hour previous?
No.
No, I'd go make out with myself.
Yeah. Brenda style.
I've never felt this way before. Oh, funny.